The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with Kurt Elsner. This young guy started Premier Janitorial Services March 2021 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I believe started with construction cleanup and now is moving into big boy, regular commercial cleaning. One of our clients, and he's got just a very cool story, and I wanted to share it with you, Clean Nation. Did I miss anything or add anything or leave anything out that's important, Kurt?
No, sir, you didn't. Just like to appreciate, thank you for having me on. A little bit about our background. We started 2021 and we did start in construction cleaning, and I had quite a bit of contacts in that industry, so it's pretty easy to get in, and you feel like you can make a lot of money in there, but boy, there are some challenges involved. So we kind of went on to focus more on nightly janitorial stuff. So previously to starting the company, I managed a commercial cleaning company in Tulsa, and my boss was super. You couldn't ask for a better boss, really. But it was just looking for something more for my family, and so just decided to take a leap.
Well, first of all, man, I'm so proud of you. It's a big deal to It's hard when you've got a bad boss in a bad situation to leave and start your own gig. It's harder when you have a good boss in a good situation to leave and start your own gig. But I love that you were clear on what you wanted more so than where you're at. Sometimes you got to get something good to get something great. That said, I also want to encourage you and kind of give a warning to Clean Nation. Most people start with construction cleanup, move in, move out for exactly what you said. I had contacts. It was easy to get in, right? Well, there's a reason it's easy to get in, because no one wants to do it. It's either new people or people that aren't, it's a lot of churn. So there's a reason that people want that, right? I don't know that my criterion would be if I was dating. It was really easy to get a date. She said, yes, she had nowhere else to go. She was desperate. Like that's not really, I think I'd rather work a little harder to get the right mate than be like, she said, yes, what are you going to do? And we kind of do that with clients where it's like, they say yes. So that's where I end up. All right. That said, walk us through, because I've known you for a while now, so I can't even hardly remember where you're at before we kind of got together. So catch everyone up with what your frustrations were, where you started, what made you reach out and decide to do something different.
Yeah, so the reason we reached out is we were just knew that there was better ways to do things. In my previous situation, we really didn't have good systems for much of anything. So it was just kind of, we were chasing our tail, just putting out fires all day. So starting off, I got in pretty early. I just wanted to get off on the right foot and see what those systems and processes looked like.
And that's another thing I want to encourage. We get, unfortunately, the bulk of the people we help are not what Kirk's talking about. They almost don't like talking with brand new people because they don't know what they don't know yet. So they haven't experienced the pain and they're like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll work out. And you ask questions like, why will it work out? Cause it has to, cause I'll never give up. I'll keep trying. And they kind of give these platitudes, which is great. It's a good business attitude, but it's a terrible business strategy, right? Like it's got to work cause it has to. Like if you weren't the one saying it, as a coach looking on the outside, you'd be like, that's an insane strategy, but like, it's going to work because it has to. That's terrible. So kudos to you, Kurt. And I want to encourage others that are just starting. Most of the time people come, and it's not about coming to us, it's about getting help and doing something different. They wait until they've had their teeth kicked in and they're like, I cannot live like this anymore. So same thing with your boss. A lot of people have just stayed there and been like, well, he's nice and it's good. And you know, it's not exactly my dream, but it's not terrible. So I'll just keep tolerating it. So I love the fact that early on you're like, no, I want what I want. And I'm going to step out in faith in that. So I just want to encourage everybody out there. You don't have to wait till you get your teeth kicked in to do something different, right? You can start from the beginning. And again, it costs time. It costs money. It costs stepping in your comfort zone. Like anything good, you know, so funny how people want to build a $1 million business, but they don't want to, you know, like I can figure it out on YouTube in 10 hours a week in my spare time. It's like, none of those things are true. Like that's insane. Like
I'm going to be a, you know, the best barber in the world. And I'm just going to figure it out on YouTube. Like, okay, maybe, I don't know. So just want to encourage all you guys out there. You do not have to wait till everything, till the crap hits the fan to change your life. Right? Like it's, that's the vast majority of people come to us and, you know, don't look for help when you're 700 pounds, look for help when you're 220 and you know, you should be 180. Like let's not wait. All right. That said, here's a fun question. I don't think I've asked this before. And this is selfish for me. And I think it'll be good for the audience. A lot of people come, whether it's us or somebody else, to a coach, and they've got this kind of picture, hopes and dreams of what they're going to get. And oftentimes what their experience is different, for better or for worse. I'm not saying it's, I don't know. I would love to know just when you kind of reached out for help, whether to us or anyone else. I know you ended up working with us, but what was your hopes and dreams? And then what was the reality? I'm just very interested in your perspective on that.
Oh boy. I don't know that I had a ton of hopes and dreams, but I think I would say I was, when I came in, I was really just interested in the systems, the processes. I'm like, just show me what to do and how to do it and let me do it. But what I found was some of the most important things I've learned is it really relates to mindset and all the help that we've gotten in the mindset areas of the business has been, it's been big. So,
which is interesting you say that, because of the people that I get to talk to, both clients and non-clients, you probably had a, it's almost like people complain the rich get richer. It's like people that have a really good mindset tend to get a better mindset, and the people that have a poor mindset don't value it and won't be coachable. So the people that are all in committed, they're wildly decisive, they're resourceful, they want to figure stuff out, they tend to, when they get good coaching, dial up those knobs, because that's really what you need to be, right? And the people that are uncommitted, interested but not committed, they're not coachable, they think they know everything, they're not willing to be resourceful and figure crap out when it gets hard, they double down on that. So it's almost like, you know, they say with alcohol, it doesn't make you good or bad, it just amplifies who you are. I think coaching is the same way, right? Like we a lot of clients we don't take just because we don't think we can help them, because if they're not naturally committed to their business and if they're not the things that they need to be, it's not going to help. So I love that you kind of came for systems and processes, but you're coachable enough to go, obviously I need those. It's not like, you know, mindset alone without skill set is going to help, but boy, skill set without mindset can just be a reason to, you know, when you're more attached to your excuses than you are to result, you can kind of go that way. So what were the big changes you made? Feel free to share anything you want to be, kind of where you were, where you are in terms of time, money, you don't share anything personal, but whatever you want. And then what kind of big changes would you say made that? So, you know, Clean Nation kind of get some value and maybe learn from your mistakes and learn from your good decisions.
Yeah. Probably the biggest changes we've made was creating a system for hiring. And instead of just getting on Indeed and random applications, setting up dates, or just word of mouth, just relying on people. And frankly, sometimes not the core value matches people to bring in other employees, just having that system that's consistent week in, week out. So if something happens, I have a pretty good idea that somebody's right around the corner. So that's been a big change for us, as well as far as a mindset, I try to, sometimes I can do better in this area, but just try to make sure I'm taking some sort of action. And just making decisions quicker. And then if that decision isn't what I want it to be, then you just follow it up with another decision. So
that's a writer danner, guys. Decisiveness is key. A lot of the people we talk to have gotten to where they're at because they've given into their fear. And they want something different, but they don't want to do something different. So they're like, I'm going to go slow and think about everything till death and look at 71 different options. And you know what got you to where you're at? Thinking things slow, going whatever, looking at 71 different options. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do any research or have any common sense. Of course you should. But more often than not, by the way, you're always going to make a decision, right? So I'm not going to do anything different. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. That's a decision, right? Like we think we're putting off a decision, but we never put off a decision. We're always just making a decision. So acknowledge that. And then if and when you make a decision that you don't like the results, make another decision to get different results. So we want to solve our indecisiveness with more indecisiveness. That does not work. The beautiful thing is if we make a decision that doesn't get a result, we can solve that by more decisiveness, right? So you can always, if you don't like your decision, you can always make another decision. Another thing I want to mention that you said that's really key, Kurt, is the systems that you picked up in having a hiring system. A big key component to having a system is it allows you to have the right selection. So drives me nuts when people brag that they're like, don't do any advertising. Everything's repeat and referral. It's like, okay. As long as you enjoy having your family success be in the hands of your clients or strangers that may or may not refer you. And I'm not saying referrals aren't a great source of revenue. They think that sounds good when it comes to customers, but they understand how dumb it sounds when it comes to employees, when they're like, oh, I only have friends and family working for me. They all hate it, right? So it's funny that on the employee side, they all intuitively know that's stupid. That's a dumb way to grow companies. And my only pool is people I know to be employees. It's insane. Of course, I have to advertise and get strangers, right? So the problem is we mostly start by ourselves and then we do friends and family. We get bit in the ass with that, pardon my language. And then we run an ad and either no one shows up because the ad sucks or it's in the wrong spot, or everybody shows up and we don't have a system to sift and sort and kind of get the right people. So we settle for, and so we then go backwards to friends and family. Like, well, I know they suck and they're average, but at least it's easy, right? Kind of same thing. Like, I know construction, cleanup, remove and move out aren't great, but at least they said yes. You know, I know my brother ain't great, but I can emotionally manipulate him to do my help, you know, whatever the case may be. So what big mindset shift and what big skill set shift did you implement to go from pell-mell hiring whoever happened to be within the sound of your voice to having more employees trying to come in than you could actually hire?
Man, I feel like getting over some of my fears with just getting out there and putting myself out there in these type of situations.
How come when you say getting over your fears, be specific?
Maybe fear of sitting in front of a group of people and talking to them and figuring out what questions, maybe asking tougher questions to really dig deeper and figure out if they are a core value match.
And how did you get over this? What went from I'm afraid to do this to holy crap, I'm doing this?
You told me I needed to do it. So I did it. I mean, that's basically it.
So guys, I hope you're hearing a theme here of coachability and commitment. So I'm going to put words in your mouth, Kurt. Please correct me if I'm at all misrepresenting you. But what I'm hearing Kurt say is, A, I was coachable. I found someone that knew what the heck was going on and I asked him or her for help. And then that part's the easy part. It's not the easy part, but it's the easier part. And then I did it. That's the hard part. I actually did what the person said. So that's the coachability. Okay. So for those people that don't have a coach, any encouragement on how they might kind of overcome that other than, well, Mike told me to do it, I did it. I mean, for me personally, I love that answer, but yeah, that may not work for a lot of other people. Sure. Any encouragement you give for people that don't have a coach that are, whatever it is, doesn't have to be doing a group interview, just the thing could be hiring, right? We have the fears of my clients will quit if it's not me. My employees will lie, cheat and steal. What if somebody quit? You know, all these weird fears. What encouragement could you give them from what you know, mindset wise, skill set wise, that might help them?
I would just say, don't quit. Just keep trying different ways. Every day I just try to get a little bit better and face my own fears. And some days don't go well. Some days you wake up and you just feel like it's your day. But I would just say, just keep moving. And as long as you don't quit, you're still going. So
you said two key things that I don't want people to miss. One was do something different every day. So a lot of guys are like, I've got 20 years experience in cleaning. They don't. They have 1 month of experience. They just repeat it over and over for 20 years, right? So no offense to our fine trade, but once you learn how to clean janitorial residential, it might take a couple of weeks and you're not really going to learn a lot after that. So if you just keep doing this, so the never give up, good. Never give up banging your head against the wall, doing the exact same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That can't be. So I love that you said, try different things, right? And obviously there's really two ways to do it. trial and error, which will be effective if you're smart about it. It just takes a lot of time and money, or find someone that's already done the trial and error and pay them and, you know, buy their trial and error. You know, they say smart people learn from their mistakes. True. Really smart people learn from other people's mistakes. Why go through the pain? Second thing I heard you say was be okay. And I know you didn't exactly say this, so correct me if you're like, no, I didn't mean that, Mike. I heard you say some days you're going to kick butt and some days you're not. And you just got to be okay with if the standard is every day you got to be perfect, well, we're all going to fail. Like, that's not reasonable. So you got to be like, I'm going to try every day. Some days I'm going to have what feels like good success. And I'm going to enjoy those. I'm going to celebrate. Other days I'm going to feel like, boy, do I suck at this. And I'm just going to be like, moving on. Is that, am I testing your words?
Yeah. I feel like another way to put it is just, you got to call it good and you just got to be okay with it. Wash your hands and, try again tomorrow. And just as long as I'm trying to improve each day, knowing that some days I don't, but I'm trying, then I'm doing all right.
Cool. So let's talk benefit. What was the biggest change in your personal life? Right. Cause I like money. I like profit. I like gross sales. I like getting out of cleaning. I like all that stuff. And I know you've had some of that and you're welcome to share as much as you like, but more importantly to me, all of those are just so we can improve our life, right? No one wants money. They want to travel, or they want to put their kid in a school, or more likely they want to feel the way they think they're going to feel when they do those things. So what was the biggest impact on your personal life and your family's life? Cause again, I know there's people out there that are still scared, especially the ones without coaches that are like, I got to do this on my own. I'm hoping your kind of picture of what life could be would be an encouragement and allow them to, or encourage them to go forward.
So 100% right now, the biggest change for me has been, because I've gotten rid of construction cleaning, I haven't been grinding all day on those jobs and then burning at both ends, nightly janitorial. So I'm able to spend more time with my family and attend my kids' baseball games or take them to the golf course. And that's really what it's about. And then in the future, hopefully set my family up for where we don't have to worry quite a bit as much about money and that stuff, but really it's about quality of life, because time's one thing you can't get back. So that's what we're achieving.
So with this less time, if you're making less money, not as impressive, right? That's a pretty easy math. If you're making the same or more money, that's different. So I don't care about revenue. Profit to you and your family, now that you're spending less time on the business, what's your time investment? Has that gone up, gone down, or stayed about the same?
My time investment has
gone. Sorry, your time investment. Yeah. You just said your time. You're like, I just told you my time investment went down. Your profit, not the revenue. Yeah,
it stayed about the same, but that's after we've recovered from not pulling in all these constructions. So we're still growing, but right now we kind of level back out to the same.
So is it fair to say you had X amount of revenue with generally construction cleanup, you stopped that, so your revenue went down, sure. And then it's now, you neither went up or down, but you traded what I would consider to be bad, low value customers and replaced them with good, high value customers. And if you're like, oh, that's just your opinion, Mike, try and sell a construction cleanup company versus a janitorial company with weekly or daily contracts and see what the valuation does. Okay, so again, that's to revenue. Profit wise, about the same. So your whatever available profit you were to take home is about the same. You just lowered your time to get that profit.
Yep.
Okay. So let me give three things on that. The first thing Kurt said, which I really love, there's probably two big things that are the biggest hidden levers, right? So we all need systems and processes. We know that. Employees, we know that. Getting new customers, we know that. These are all kind of the things that we know we need, but we don't oftentimes know how to do them. Where we start with our program is there's kind of the hidden levers that we don't know that we need, but they're wildly important. So I want to make sure I point those out to you before we go forward. One is picking the right customers. if any of you guys called and want to help with the program and you said, I'm unwilling to change customers, and you had a customer I know wasn't going to be healthy, we wouldn't take you no matter how much money you have. Not because we're allergic to money. It's a fool's errand, right? So, and it's frustrating because if we pick that thing and we just, it feels like one of 1,000 equal questions. Like, what client should I use? How much should I charge? 1099 or W-2? You know, how big do I want my service radius to be? What kind of service do I want to offer? Like, there's all these questions that we kind of feel can be, because there's so many of them, they kind of feel similar in value or whatever. that one, what customers, and I'll give you the hint, by the way, they need to have massive pain and you want recurring. That's a big deal. There's a reason software companies trade at 10x earnings and construction companies, where it's just like whatever jobs they go sell and kill and eat that day, trade at 2x earnings. So recurring work, not construction cleanups. Like, oh, there's a new construction cleanup job every week. That's some weeks there are, some weeks they're not. Some weeks it's big. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about residential, commercial. I'll give you X amount flat money per month for the same service over and over again. That's recurring work, not I got a realtor that brings me a bunch of move in, move outs. Like, that's not recurring because it can go up and down. And then customers that have pain, customers that you like, customers that can afford your services. So picking the right customer, if you get that wrong, I mean, get you everything else right. Most of the stuff in business, if you get wrong, it's not going to be a deal breaker. If you pick the wrong customer or setup, you're stuck. Second thing would be pricing, right? If you price wrong, nothing's ever going to fix that. All right. The last thing I wanted to mention, and I want your opinion on this, Kurt, is for me, let's say it costs me $50,000 a year to live and save a little bit of money and pay my taxes. And, you know, I'm not rich, but I'm not poor. If I could make $50,000 a year working 10 hours a week or $100,000 a year working 50 hours a week, I will take the 10 hours every damn time. So we have found there's kind of a predictable course people need to go on. First, they need to get out of cleaning, right? Because if you're cleaning every minute you're cleaning, you have a cleaning job. That's no good. Or if you have a different part-time job or full-time job, you got to kind of get full-time in your business, not cleaning on your business. Second, you've got to make sure the profit's good, which again can be, I take a step back on purpose to take two steps forward. And once we kind of get people's income to match their expenses, right? So for one guy, it might be 30 grand. For another guy, it might be 80 grand. It's not a magic number, right? Depends where you live. You know, just are you married? How old are you? There's just a lot of stuff. But once you're a nickel over your expenses and regular, like I have a couple bucks to save. I have a couple bucks in case the car breaks, and not like my expenses are actually $2,841 and I make $2,842. Like I make $4,000 or I make 30, you know, like we're there. And they're out of cleaning forever. That's a pretty interesting spot, because you can then go, well, crap, if I can kind of manage this thing in 0 to 15 hours a week, depending on the week, and all my bills are paid, that looks a lot like retirement. Or you could be like, well, holy crap, now I've got 40 hours a week I work on my business opposed to in it. Have you gotten to that spot where whatever your bills are, like the business pays for it, you're under 20 hours a week consistently? Or are you still walk us through that transition?
Yeah. So we're not quite there yet, but, I can see what the lifestyle would look like. So we're still working towards getting to that goal.
But you're out of cleaning completely, yeah. Correct?
I'm out of cleaning completely, but I need to make a few changes in my system to make sure I don't get dragged back in if something goes wrong, if that makes sense. So, like I said, I got some work to do to make sure I don't ever have to get back to cleaning.
Cool. And then how many hours a week would you say you're working now versus before?
Oh, probably 25 hours a week as opposed to 40.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And again, the magic about that is, I'm guessing before, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, of that 40 hours a week, you were probably really working 50, 36 on in the business cleaning or doing whatever, and then 15 working, you know, or just whatever, and then a little bit working on. Now when you're like, it's only 20 hours or 25 hours a week, we got that extra 15, you're like, I can completely grow the company. That's I just want to encourage everybody, that's a big shift, right? The quality of work that you do in that space to be like, I could be with my kids, I could work on my business, but I'm not working in it. All right, we got a couple minutes to finish. I will just let you give whatever thoughts, feedback, any value you think you can bring to Cleaning Nation, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, appreciate you having me on today. I would just encourage everybody to come up with a set of core values so you can make every decision based on those core values, and then also try to take action every day, massive action. I could do better in that area, but I try to do it every day. So appreciate Mike, you as a coach, and everything you've done for our family.
Man, I appreciate you, Kurt. This guy's giving me goosebumps, dude. All right, Cleaning Nation, if you are picking up what we're laying down, you want more help, go to growingcleaningcompany.com. There's over 800 podcasts. The free on-demand training is probably where I'd start. If you listen to the outro, I think I give you my number. You can text me. Lots of ways to get help. The one thing you don't want to do is if you've listened to this podcast and go, that's it, I know what I need, I want to do something, and you don't take action, no offense, we've just wasted 23 minutes of your time or whatever we've been here. So I really want to encourage you. If you think we can help, reach out, let us know what's going on. If you don't think we can help, do something, right? So don't go, well, this guy's an idiot, I don't trust him, so I'll just keep living the life that I have, right? That's not going to serve you at all. Pick an action, take it, find someone that knows and has lived what you want to live, get their experience. And again, beautiful thing is our coaching stuff, super expensive. I've written 2 books. They're $20 or something like that. If the minimum everybody can afford a book, find somebody that you want, buy a book. That is probably the best condensed stuff, but do something. If you leave the scene of this podcast wanting a different outcome and don't do anything different right now, I think we failed you, or more importantly, you failed yourself. So take an action, pick what it is, take a step forward, and see you soon, Clean Nation.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.